Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, where we will be reviewing the news. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I think I may have seen this meme before, but maybe I've shown it on the show many years ago, but it reemerged on social media, and I think it's really great. It shows if you distribute the weight on your trailer in a balanced way, you get... And if you distribute it this balance, it's much more easy to lose control. That is not something I was thinking about. So definitely I will be careful once I get a trailer, because I do want a trailer. You have to spread the weight equally, or else you are more likely to lose control. All right, there is a major news today. The Democrats were successful at passing their $740 billion tax, climate, and medications package, basically taking massive amounts of money from the private sector in ways that they want to argue will not affect the little guy. But of course it will affect the little guy, because if the big companies are made to be less efficient via taxes, they will have to find the funds to fund these things, and there is no other way for them than to drain it from the market. And so it includes taxes that will be added in the financial sector, especially when companies want to buy back their own stocks. Now, this is a weird distortion of the market, because now companies that want to buy back their own stock will have to pay a tax on this. That means there's a bunch of people willing to sell you the stock at a certain price. The actual price you're going to have to pay for it is 1% higher. So basically they are disincentivizing the idea of companies being invested in their own success. It's really not a good idea, if you want my opinion. The idea of having companies buy back their stocks is necessary, and it must be as fluid as possible, because what it results in is that you are favoring the distribution of stocks to other entities that are not necessarily involved in their own success, and you are making it harder for the company to own itself. And so I don't see what good can come out of it, and I see a lot of wrongs that can come out of it. First, it will also launch, eventually, the goal of these companies will be to sell those stocks at higher price, so it participates to the inflation of prices, because then you have a share of the company that has gone through a step where it was but bad, so the actual price that the company had to pay is higher for that share than the free market would have wanted it. As a result, the company wants to sell it at an even higher price. And so it participates to the inflationary drive through the financial markets. There are other aspects of this bill that will... There is the minimum corporate tax. So there was a corporate tax for companies that make more than $1 billion, and it was around 21%. However, some companies are getting away from it because there are various ways to get out of it, and I don't know the accounting of it, but basically there were tricks to pay less than 21%. And now, no matter how many tricks you use, you will have a minimum of 15%. What I see here, the wrong that I see, is that since this applies to companies making more than $1 billion per year, companies will not ever want to be included in that group. So there will be an interest for companies to downplay their profit, downplay their sales, and maybe remain a $900 million company forever. So it's really annoying when you introduce these bizarre skewings of the market. You create unnatural effects in the economy that shouldn't be, and all of it will end up costing more to people. So the whole goal is to There's also a savings that is accounted for in this bill because they were expending so much, they were spending so much money that they had to find ways to justify that they had this money, precisely because Joe Manchin was there. He was the only one forcing them to have serious accounting for their tax bill, or else it would have all been printed money and debt if it was just for the rest of the Democrats. But Joe Manchin wanted to the thing to reduce the total deficit of the federal government. So in principle, they say it reduces the total deficit by 300 billion. But will that come to happen, you know, because a lot of companies will have tricks so that these tactics that target them for taxes will not affect them. If a company decides, all right, we're cutting our numbers, we're going to sell less cars, we're going to sell less products this year so that we're below the 1 billion threshold, then you can have unaccounted for money in this bill that really never comes to be. Another way they have claimed to be cut to be bringing more money to the government so that they could spend all of this on climate change stuff is the reduction of Medicare costs, so allowing Medicare to negotiate the prices of drugs. On that, I don't know what will happen with this because it's a fact that Americans are paying way too much. Your system is extremely unhealthy for in terms of the price you pay for stuff. For some reason, other socialist countries like Canada and European countries get the very same medication at a much cheaper price. So there is definitely a problem in the American system, and it's probably because somehow companies are and the Medicare system are unable or unwilling, or I don't know what it is, but they have a problem with negotiation of prices. Of course, the federal government was legally obliged not to negotiate drug prices for some reason, probably the influence of the pharmaceutical industry on Congress. This has been abolished. Will this result in everyday people having less cost? Maybe. Maybe some of it. But it seems that it's a very long schedule. Like they were saying that Medicare will start negotiating 10 the prices for 10 drugs in 2025, and then there's more drugs in 2026. It's a long way from here. before the average American sees anything positive from this bill, I think you're going to see much negative. It's really a it's a kind of governmental socialist takeover of Congress, and it's happening, and it will happen even worse in the future. They will take that money. And it will cost you more. The ridiculous thing in all this, by the way, is the name of the bill is called the Inflation Reduction Act. Of all the things I've just told you, do you really believe that anything there, anything in there can reduce inflation or can worsen it? Each of the things I just listed will worsen prices. So they have these cosmetic measures to argue that it's an Inflation Reduction Act. For example, they will force pharmaceutical companies not to increase drug prices above the inflation rate. But the inflation rate is inflating. So you are not an Inflation Reduction Act if you are forcing pharmaceutical companies to be clamped to the average inflation that's already going on in your society. You're not reducing anything. You are basically letting the economy inflate, and then you're telling the pharmaceutical company, all right, that's how much you can increase. Well, that's an inflation increase. It is not a reduction of prices. J. John Dow says, Jeff, would you prefer the government spins its wheels for 10x the cost? I would be happy for them to print zillions of dollars if they and their shitty policy never left their offices. Yes, I would be okay with printing money as long as it remains in a monopoly game, as long as they keep it among themselves. But the problem is when you print money and you have real impact in the economy. But this is not a bill of money printing. It's a bill of we're going to take money from these sectors of the economy and we're going to drop it on what? Climate change stuff. So what it will result in is people will be covered for stuff like insulation of their homes and credits for this and that, credits for buying electric cars, that kind of stuff. And it will all create a false economy for basically draining government credits for making something happen that wouldn't happen in the free market. And the reason it wouldn't happen in the free market is that smart energy and all this energy efficient stuff has not passed the test of the economy yet. It is not economically viable. It costs more to buy and run an electric car than it does a non-electric car. And this will remain the case as long as we take this industry by the hand and we say, all right, here's free government money. It's what happens when you are directed by Democrats, when you vote for Democrats. So at the same time, I would say to Americans, you get the government you deserve. There was a quote, I don't remember from whom, a very old quote. Someone who was saying, democracy is the theory that the people are intelligent enough to decide who leads them and that these leaders are exactly precisely what they deserve. I love this quote. It's exactly what it is. J. John Dow says, you get what you fucking deserve. All right, I got excited. J. John Dow says, no, this one I read. Go Away says, we should all agree to give 15% of our wealth to the government. They can put it in a big pile and set it on fire, a la Joker in The Dark Knight. That would curb inflation massively. Technically, it would. Technically, it would. Lock Shed says, JF. Drain gang, sad boys, meerkat gang would never let this happen. Meerkat gang, you're saying that there will never be a government spending bill in the society of meerkats? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey regular chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, we also accept Entropy Super Chats. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Mark Dees brings the exact quote. Okay, yes, that is it. By H.L. Mencken, democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. That is exactly the quote. Oh, yeah, that is a good quote. I love how passive aggressive. At the beginning, you feel like, oh, maybe this is a positive statement about democracy. And then at the end, deserve to get it good and hard. Republicans say Democrats will pay the price in midterms for passing massive spending bill. Republicans say the Inflation Reduction Act will only make inflation worse. That it is pretty sure that it's the case. You cannot reduce inflation by taking money away from the system and respending it in the system. You have to take money away from the system and wisely and carefully and honorably burn that money. Indeed, that is exactly what you need to do. Republicans on Sunday heaped scorn on Democrats for passing a multi-billion-dollar economic package, warning that it would come back to haunt them in the November midterms. I hope so, but at the same time, the American people may not feel the full effect of this bill because we won't be in a tax part of the year, And so largely the effects of this bill will show up in later when the big companies start paying these taxes and start passing back the expense to the consumers. It will take months before people truly feel the effect of that bill. And so I'm afraid people will have to just read the news, consult the news, and understand that this kind of bill is not to their advantage. It's very unlikely that the masses are capable of saying this, of doing this. Senate passes $740 billion tax climate package. It's been a long, tough, and winding road, but at last we have arrived. Kamala Harris had to vote to break the Senate tie.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 50. The Senate being equally divided, the Vice President votes in the affirmative, and the bill, as amended, is passed.
All right, Kamala Harris and her contagious laugh made it for this bill. J. John Dow says, JF, midterms is not quite the consequence politicians should be fearful of. Jefferson had it right. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Okay, so you are suggesting that the final consequence is not the midterm of the election, but the full burning of the country by the cleansing fire of Jesus, who returns from heaven to declare the end of humanity? Maybe. Does the Inflation Reduction Act violate Biden's $400,000 tax pledge? Expect a different answer depending on who you ask. Yeah, the thing is, Biden had promised never to increase taxes on households with annual incomes below $400,000. And if you follow the letter of the law, he has respected his commitment. But as this article points out, that doesn't mean there won't be consequences for poor or middle-class families. What would happen is that the big corporations that are getting taxed by this new bill will pass on the expense to the consumer. And in the end, everyone will end up paying more for the stuff that they buy. DK Shadow says, Jesus returns from his home planet with the Armada. Oh my God. It's always funny to me that there are people who are deeply Christian, you know, believing in God, believing in Jesus as a savior, and they watch me, they watch my show. I love it. I am open to you guys. As far as I'm concerned, I do not believe in God. But I find it fascinating that I've attracted a crowd of people like this. What's in the Manchin-Schumer deal on climate, healthcare, and taxes? CNN, of course, does not mention the increases of taxes. They only mention one aspect of them, which is the 15% minimum tax on the income. And they mention later in the article the stock buybacks. But you read this article and you don't get the feeling at all that it concerns poor people, and that ultimately everyone is going to pay the price of this. So what's in the bill? The inflation cap that I was talking about on drug prices. Again, inflation cap is not inflation reduction. It means that you are forcing basically pharmaceuticals to every year increase by the price of the inflation, because they will have to know that in a couple of years they won't be able to increase by a large margin. So because by law they will be compelled to do it slowly, they will do it on an every year basis. Genesis says, JF will believe it on Judgment Day. Sad he won't be on air then. Ah yeah, I mean, if I see Jesus coming from the sky on fire and burning planet Earth, I will say Jesus was correct, God exists, and and I apologize for not believing it, but I was not given any good reasons to believe in it. Limit on Medicare out-of-pocket drug cost. The bill would redesign Medicare's Part D drug plan so that seniors and people with disabilities wouldn't pay more than $2,000 a year for medications bought at the pharmacy. Insurers and drug makers would have to pick up more of the tab. Again, something doesn't work here. Something doesn't work. You will cap at $2,000 a year for medications, but you're going to be asking for, there will be people who need more than $2,000 a year for these medications. So you're, eventually the companies will pass on the bill to the other consumers that they are not bound by law to respect. So they will put a higher cost on people who don't have disabilities and people who are not seniors. Guess who that is? The white middle class parents and adults that are not yet seniors. This is who will pay the bill for all of this. Unbelievable. Free vaccines for seniors. Medicare enrollees would be able to get all vaccines at no cost. Right now, only certain vaccines, such as those for COVID-19, the flu, and pneumonia, are free. Again, this money must come from somewhere. So that's it for this bill. Personally, I'm not super enthusiastic, but we knew that when the Democrat took control of the Senate with the vote of Kamala Harris, we knew that there would be such things passing. It's not all that bad if you compare to what the House wanted, which was something more than $1 trillion. Of expenses. So Joe Manchin basically played a massive role here in reducing the craziness of this bill, but there's still some craziness left. J. John Dow says, James Watson, the DNA scientist dude, was and is a devout believer in the Trinity. Oh yeah, I didn't know this. I knew that he was highly criticized eventually because he took positions on racial questions, but I didn't know that he was a devout believer. Zelensky calls for tougher international response after shelling of nuclear plant. No. He's doing it again. Zelensky has been doing this like 2 months, 3 months ago. Repeatedly, he was trying to bring the attention. He was bringing video proof that the Russians were inconsiderate toward nuclear facilities. All of this because somehow he feels that it's more of an international incident if nuclear is involved. But at this point, we didn't buy the bullshit 2 months ago, and we won't buy it now. I don't think that the Russians have been careless in their shelling of Ukraine. I have seen no evidence that a nuclear disaster was in the making. And at this point, it's really a talking point that Zelensky is recruiting with the goal of attracting attention to his issues. Go Away says, we need to start a donation fund so that Zelensky can afford a suit. It's unbecoming to always wear a t-shirt. Yeah, I think it's becoming a trademark, basically. He's dressed a little bit like you would think of an army guy. You know, a soldier, not maybe in combat, but a soldier in the barracks, training, perhaps making some jogging. I think it's all carefully selected. I don't think you need to start a donation fund for dressing Zelensky, because I think he's dressed exactly how he wants and how his image specialists want. I don't think he would take your offer, even if you gathered the money. AD Publishing has mentioned something about peer review that I really like. Relying on peer review instead of demanding replication of results was the first step backwards from the scientific method and towards neo-scholasticism. Blind trust in credentialed experts was precisely what the scientific method was supposed to put an end to. If a peasant in a thatch hut could come up with results that were verifiable, falsifiable, and replicable, then that was what mattered, not what degree he had from which university. But now we're back to shut up and trust the experts, which means heading straight back to all the bad things about the Middle Ages, with none of the chivalry, loyalty, or dedication to Christ. I really like this comment. It is true that we're getting the worst of both worlds. We are getting the shut up and trust the experts. We are getting the dark ages of intellectualism. And yet we're not even getting at least the advantages of the dark ages. You know, the kind of farmer lifestyle, the kind of honor, interactions between families. We get none of this. We have this crap called modernity, and that's all we get. Even blue cities now want Biden to pay for cost of his open border policies. DC Mayor Muriel Bowser called Biden and told him she was unhappy with all of these migrants being dropped into her city. So I think it's largely the effort of Texas and Greg Abbott in Texas, who is busing all the migrants to push the problem that he's faced with as the most southern state, you know. He's faced with a problem, and he's getting rid of the problem by delivery to Washington, D.C. And they have the policies from Washington, D.C. have allowed this situation to build, and they should pay the price of it. Archie Battersby, 12-year-old boy, dies hours after hospital ends life support against parents' wishes. British law allows for courts to intervene when parents and doctors disagree on a child's medical treatment. I don't know what to think about this. Because if we're talking about a British hospital, you have basically something that is funded by the state. So the parents are dependent on something from the state. Now, to me, the final word on life of a child or of any medical care of a child should belong to the parents always. However, you cannot live parasitically at the expense of the rest of society. And so if the parents were able to pay for coma services at home and they were able to maintain their child that way, I think it would be fine to, I think then that the power of these courts would be abusive. But as long as the parents are delegating the task of keeping their child alive to the state, I think that the state should be able to say no. J. John Dow says, JF, you build the NHS over the decades to have the power it currently holds. You get what you fucking deserve, government. Well, J. John Dow is in a Joker mode tonight. That's great. I mean, exactly. You are dependent on the NHS. So Your child would probably be dead by now if it wasn't of the NHS. So in that circumstance, I understand that the NHS must have an ability to say, look, we're wasting so much resources on this. This guy will not wake up. Now, that being said, I think they were kind of quick on doing that decision, because I've seen people wake up from coma. We've seen it. Months and years into the coma. Here we have a 12-year-old boy who has been in coma since April 7th. What? April 7th? That's 4 months. 4 months and you give him up. I under this is faster than I would have expected, especially for a young man who, you know, him waking up would have led him to a fully an interesting life if he had woken up. So I don't know. When you depend on the state to make these decisions, you're gonna get what you deserve. You're right, J. John Dow. Go away, says, why should I, a libertarian, be forced to pay to keep your 12-year-old alive? Well, which is why I say, in these countries, unfortunately, there is a fight against private medical service, but it should be kept as an option. If these parents could deploy at home some way of keeping this child alive, they should have been able to. But everyone wants the hospital service. Everyone wants the big service, and then the bill to pay becomes increasingly unpayable. Revolution has begun. 75,000 Brits to stop paying power bills amid inflation storm. The resistance is growing. 75,000 people have pledged to strike on October 1st. If the government and energy companies refuse to act, then ordinary people will. Together, we can enforce a fair price and affordable energy for all. Hashtag don't pay UK. Well, that is interesting. A strike at the payment level. We have seen strikes of workers, we have seen strikes of students. But this is a strike. We have seen boycotts at the customer level. That is kind of a boycott. But a boycott for energy utility, energy companies. Now, the problem is, what if the energy company calls your bluff and says, all right, these 75,000 homes will have zero electricity? What will you do then? The problem is that I don't know if you have the big side of leverage here, but it's interesting. It's interesting as a civil resistance movement. J. John Dow says the mother did not have to take him to the hospital if she didn't understand that this was a possible outcome. You're right. You're right. There's so much implicit behavior with which we consent to the state. Indirectly. And I personally have found a way, a life away from civilization, and I enjoy it. But there is so much you give up when you step into that hospital. So much that you give up. Most of the time, it would be advisable at least to consider, do you really need a hospital service at this moment? University of Kansas, but see what happens if your child gets a car accident and you want to bring him home. You're gonna get thrown the book at you. They're going to try to get him in an ambulance. They will assume you want him to go to the hospital. They won't even ask. If you insist, they will send the Child Protective Services against you. So we are stuck in a kind of funneling of our consent structure. We are forced to consent, and if we don't consent, then and consent cannot happen when you are under the threat of a bigger harm, a bigger attack on your rights. J. John Dow says, is the hospital really going to do what I'm thinking they are going to do? But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, unfortunately, in these socialist societies, including Canada and the UK, you don't have an opt-out. If she had brought her child home, they would have sent the Child Protective Services at her. University of Kansas offers angry white male studies class. The University of Kansas class will examine what the angry white male is upset about. There are so many leftists fascinated at this angry white male. And what's amazing is that you don't really have to be angry to be an angry white male. You really just have to be a white male with a claim of some sort about you having rights, or a claim of some sorts about politics that they don't like, and that makes you an angry white male. Mark D is sending $20 in super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Salut, JF. Thanks for the show and for being a little light in our dark world. I'm one of the believers that watches your show, but I discovered you years before going back to faith. Keep an open mind. You never know when God may draft you. I was surprised." Well, that is good to hear. In my case, I think that it will be very hard to convert me to believing in God, although I like Christianity, you know. I respect Christianity, but I don't think I can believe in God. Mama JF says she could have brought him to a private hospital. I mean, does that even exist in the UK, a private hospital? And will you get a different service there? J. John Dow says, "JF, does that course define white and male?" No. I mean, I don't know why you ask this. I couldn't possibly know what a male is. I'm not a... Oh, fuck. I'm a biologist. Yeah, I know what a male is, but most people are not biologists, you know? The course will be offered during the fall 2022 term with the goal of teaching about the prominent figure... That is the angry white male. A prominent figure. This course charts the rise of the angry white male in America and Britain since the 1950s. Oh, that's fascinating. I thought they would go back to the 1700s, you know. Charles Darwin as an angry white male. That might have piqued my curiosity, but no, they're really just going to take basically right-wing white males from the 1950s up to today, exploring the deeper sources of this emotional state while evaluating recent manifestations of male anger. By framing things psychologically, that's how the leftists do. They dehumanize because you cannot be an honorable man trying to have a claim of right. Like, if I just come here and I say, "Hey, you know, maybe this policy is genociding my people." Oh, no, you're an angry white male. You are being driven by emotions. Let us study the underlying emotions to your improper ID. That is pathologizing regular political discourse, and they will only do it for white males. Of course, a black female who's yelling on the streets, perhaps even destroying stuff as part of a BLM protest, will never be the subject of a black female studies, angry black female studies. Let us understand the instinctive aspects of the emotional basis of this violent reaction of the average BLM protester. DK Shadow says they do it to white adjacent as well. Oh yeah, white adjacent. That is the most hilarious term. Just the fact that anyone can use the term white adjacent unironically, it shows the kind of short circuit that they have in their fucking mind. The simple fact that you can see a Chinese guy saying "I'm a Republican" and say that's white adjacent, it shows the wicked just the piles of shit that exist in these people's head. Paladin has sent $225 super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, "Why do I get the feeling that this was Kamala's moment in history that truthers will bring up 50 years from now, like Clinton repealing Glass-Steagall. You think it's one of the great moments of Kamala Harris? Oh, because she got the splitting vote? I don't think this will be retained in any way in history as her accomplishment. I think she is such a boring vice president. I don't think that anything will be retained about her in history. Of course, they will say she was the first black female or whatever, when in fact she's Indian. But other than this, I don't think that anything will be positively remembered as an accomplishment of Kamala Harris. But yeah, if they do have to bring up something that she's done, I guess they're going to bring that. Paladin also sends a second super chat and he says, did Mama JF enjoy the movie Being There? The message might have been too human for your cyborg intellect. I watched, Mama JF didn't watch it. I watched it alone because Mama JF was working on furniture placements and she was working upstairs. And so I watched it alone. I watched about 40 minutes of it. Man, it's painful. It's painful. I didn't get too much of the action because I'm just in the beginning, the framing of the character. Basically, it's an idiot gardener, and this idiot will find himself in situations due to the fact that his employer, for whom he was working, he was taking care of a garden, dies. And so he finds himself alone in the world in a very naive and idiotic man. I mean, there's kind of a funny scene when he first goes on the streets alone and he encounters a bunch of black teenagers from a gang. And they're talking to him like language from the street. And he understands nothing. That is kind of hilarious. But it's such an old movie that it lacks a narrative structure. And it's extremely painful for me to watch. I'll try to watch it in full. I'll try to get to some event in this movie. But for now, I have seen zero events. For now, it's just, oh yeah, let's make a movie about an idiot. But unlike Forrest Gump, this movie will suck. I'm trying to get through it, Paladin. But Mama JF has been unable to watch it, and I wouldn't recommend it to her, honestly. It really sucks as a movie. Okay, what else do we have in the news? Bill Maher slams fat celebration and body positivity. Talk show host and comedian Bill Maher railed against the pro-obesity body positivity movement, saying that not only is it pathetic, it's a national security risk. I agree that there is an overstep. You know, the leftists are pushing it way too far. The thing is, I'm fully up for acceptance. Tolerate people. And if people are fat, tolerate them. But the whole idea of celebration of fat people, the thing is, it doesn't work. Because everyone knows that being fat is less beautiful than being not fat. Everyone knows it. And so you can making a fictitious society in which we feature fat women on magazines as if, oh my god, she's so sexy in her own way. It doesn't work because everyone knows it's a big lie. Everyone knows it's not beautiful. And so I agree that we shouldn't fake. We shouldn't fake success for fat females and fat males, really. We shouldn't make it as a good thing. But at the same time, we shouldn't harass and we shouldn't oppress. And if you turn out to be fat, it shouldn't be a grave thing. We should be neutral about fat rather than claim body positivity. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, I know it is a meme at this point, but I Am Mother on Netflix might arguably be about a tame version of TRP. Spoiler alert, by the end, you learn an AI farms about 65k embryos and selects the embryos for what it finds to be optimal humans to rebuild civilization post-apocalypse. Yes, I've seen this movie. It's one of these cheap Netflix movies, like, kind of interesting in the narrative structure and the script. The idea is kind of interesting. However, with Netflix, the problem is that the implementation is always a little less interesting than the idea. It's like they can't spend much money on the movie, and so they do it cheap, and it shows. I like the idea of exploring AI, but and there are so many Netflix movies. Like, they produce 20 of those. All at once. There's I Am Mother. There's a couple of others. I've recently watched Oxygène, a French movie. Very interesting. I will spoil it for those who don't want the spoiler. You can mute me. But for the whole thing, you have the impression it's a woman stuck in a box. And she wakes up. She's stuck in a cryogenic box. And she has the impression that she was brought into that box against her will, perhaps. She finds a way using the AI from the box to contact planet, to contact the Earth, to contact whoever is outside of her box. And so you think that it's some kind of a classic, you know, someone buried against their will, stuck in a box. But at the very end, you end up finding that she's a clone. She's on a spaceship. She was not supposed to wake up. It's just that a meteorite has hit her. She's not even a real person, and the memories that she has, all of the clones beside her also have these memories. It's a fake biographic life that they've inserted in her brain. And really, she's just meant to be sent among these thousands of clones. To be sent to another planet to populate it. And she's never had her life as a child. She's never had her life as an adult. She's just been produced as a clone, inserted fake memories so that she would have the impression that she's someone. So when she contacts the Earth and she's like, I am this girl. This is my name. This is my job. This is my husband. All of this is an hallucination. It's programmed memories that were inserted in her brain so that she would be an efficient planet colonizer. Very interesting. It wrecks your mind a little bit at the end. But it's a French movie also. Trans activist accused of sexual abuse. Boasts of plans to illegally distribute hormones to children. If you need hormones, I'm working with the distribution network to get you access. Everything is free, no question asked. So that was a message that this person was sending to people in the 20 states who are trying to criminalize hormone therapy. So it seems that there are single LGBT individuals who will take it upon themselves to pass these things across the borders and get them into the hands of children in Republican states. And I was thinking about all this, and I was like, will we need state borders eventually? That would be a beautiful thing to have. State borders. Now, the big problem is if they use the federal government. And in the US, it will always be under the responsibility of the federal government to handle the mail, to handle the postal service. So as long as the postal service is there, you'll never have airtight borders. But eventually, could you have states that decide All right, it's going to be harder to enter our state, or it's going to be harder to send stuff to our state. In a way, the Democrats have laid out a beginning of this when they made these special rules for COVID-19, and you need to be vaccinated to come to our state. You could have something of the equivalent kind for Republican states. Mama JF says, okay, if you are at this point and you contact this girl, then you really fucking deserved it. Yeah, I guess that's a very good point. We want a society that does not actively promote, like, we don't want a society in which you send your child just to the regular school and your child comes back with a sex change, like, on his first day of school. That's the kind of thing we want to avoid, but it's true. If they are so into it that they end up going for dark networks of queer mating systems, it's like, okay, you take your hormone and you stop making babies immediately. Mets fan r knocks out Braves supporter in fight during game at Citi Field. Man, I was finding this fight very rough. I don't know what caused the beginning of the fight, but the punching of the guy is absolutely intense. Boom, knocked out. There seems to have been a conflict between three of them. He makes the first move, receives a hit back, and then the friend of the other guy is like, all right, I'm gonna finish the job. That was a straight jab. Boom. It wasn't a hook, it was really boom, and you can see the guy was knocked out. Pretty hard shot. J. John Dow says the tickets they both bought are not cheap. Probably more expensive than the legal fees. So maybe it's a conflict among the rich. Maybe they were arguing about the $740 billion tax package by the Democrats. I don't know. Maybe it got them frustrated. Go away says if you're a trans male teenager, you don't need to approach this groomer for home hormones. Just contact Sam Hyde and tell him you're a biological male trying to make big gains. Oh yeah, I mean there is a whole set of reasons why testosterone is being prescribed and circulating among the population, from hair loss to andropause, I think, and it's becoming dangerous because. We saw a case here on the show of a young male who had super early puberty because he was exposed to the testosterone of his father. Maybe he fed on the pill, or maybe there's a bottle of liquid that he ingested. I don't remember what it was, but somehow he got early puberty because he got exposed to too much testosterone. We have to be extremely careful with these drugs. Toys R Us reopens in 9 states. More locations coming soon. All locations, Toys R Us locations across the US will be complete in time for holiday shopping season. Well, that's great. I have we are very far from any Toys R Us or any place that would have a big store like this for babies and children, but it's great to have these around. Ariel Suarez says, I think it was testosterone gel. Yeah, that's one of the problem. I think it's a very easy format of distribution. Like pills, they can be enclosed in a secure container, but gel, it looks like nothing, but you put a little bit on your skin and then you're exposed. Entertainment companies start dumping woke content as viewership tumbles. That will be our last news item for tonight. There's a series of things we have already reviewed on the show. Most notably, Zaslav was behind the torching of news service CNN Plus after less than a month of operation when it utterly failed to pull in subscribers. Now he has shelved the $100 million Batgirl movie, a woke travesty with woke directors which test audience hated. He is also reportedly cutting the impending Supergirl movie, which rumors indicate was designed to replace the beloved Superman franchise with a female version played by a race-swapped actress of Colombian descent. The original Supergirl is supposed to be white and blonde. So many poor decisions from these companies. It's like, you want to ruin your reputation, ruin your goodwill, and ruin any demand for your products. Keep going, because nature comes back galloping. And I believe that nature will come back galloping on parental control of decent stuff for children. I think it went way too far with these woke corporations. It's time for nature to slap back. That is it for tonight, boys. Someone sent me a book. I have only read the three first chapters. The name of the book is The Rise and Fall of the State. It's on Amazon. But I think I need to read more to give my final comment. But since the guy took the time to send the book to me, perhaps what I wanted to do is share the link to the book with you guys. So if you guys want to read it in parallel with me, I might be making a show about this. Maybe in a couple of days or weeks. Here's the link in the chat. And I will also put it in the description, The Rise and Fall of the State, Cycles of Civilization. From the first three chapters, I find that there's some interest. There's some interesting things in there. I think that there are weaknesses. There are much psychological explanations of why the state rises. And I prefer mechanistic explanations. Like, if you come to me and you say, the state rises because it's in the nature of humans to have social dominance hierarchy, to me that explains nothing. You have to explain to me why is it in the nature of humans to be that way. That being said, there are some very interesting hypotheses around the state being just another expression of the division of labor. So there is division of labor improves the world, because everyone gets to be more productive in a very specific thing, increases production, increases output, and that ultimately the state emerges as further division of labor, where you divide the managerial and political power task, and you specialize in it. I will be reading the rest of the book to evaluate what I think of the hypothesis. The author is Rick Van Malsen. He contacted me through email a few hours before the show, which is why I only had the time to read about three chapters. Overall, an interesting take, although in my view incomplete up to now, but I've only read a small part. So that is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.